and welcome to Align Your Mind. My name is Chelsea Tanner. I am a flutist and a mindset coach for musicians. Today is part three of our three-part emotions series. So the first one was understanding your emotions and where they come from, and that included a five-step process to sit with yourself through big emotions, know how to process them, because it is the foundation to resilience. If you are able to help yourself through really hard emotions, then putting yourself out there becomes easier. Your whole life just becomes a little bit more manageable, right? So that was the first episode. The second episode is how to use that process then to create confidence for yourself and the willingness to feel any emotion, right? Because what we're really afraid of most of the time is feeling, right? Is feeling painful emotions. And if you can totally take the mystery out of emotions and process them and feel them and be there with yourself and not like in a way where you're beating yourself up for having emotions, right? And not making them mean anything about you, right? When you're able to do that really well, you're able to create confidence for yourself because you're so much less afraid of the outcome of certain things, right? And that also frees you up to, you know, decide ahead of time how you're going to treat yourself. Create a plan for, like, let's say an audition or whatever situation where you're applying for jobs, whatever it could be, so that you can take care of yourself in the best way possible. And that leads to a really sustainable career. So those two parts are amazing. If I do say so myself, go check them out, the last two episodes. In this episode, we're going to talk about moment-to-moment emotions. So when we have a feeling, when we're about to do a task, right? So this always happens. We make a beautiful plan in our planners, and if you're a flute player like me, you're type A, and you have a bunch of lists and plans. But when it comes time to actually do the thing, sometimes there's resistance to doing the thing. Maybe you have to send an email you don't want to send and you get anxious, right? Then you're like, oh, maybe I could scroll on my phone. Maybe I could, oh, have I eaten yet? Maybe I could get a snack, right? You know, there's so many things that sort of distract, and we can sort of justify not doing the thing we said we'd do. But I want to talk about that moment, right, where you either feel that anxiety, or you feel an urge to pick up your phone, or you feel an urge to go, you know, do something that gives you instant gratification or sort of like a false pleasure to avoid the thing you want to do because of how you feel, right? So when we have things, let's say we have something on our to-do list, and let's say you have practice time scheduled right now, and the last thing you want to do is get your instrument out and get out your recording device and get out all of your music and blah, 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 right? That's the last thing you want to do. And you're feeling like you have a lesson on Monday and you're feeling anxious about it. And maybe that anxiety is what's making you not want to play. Maybe you didn't practice as much as you wanted to, right? All hypothetical, but I want to address that resistance or the urge to quit or that anxiety that happens, and I want to teach you a couple of tools on how to change it within, let's say, 45 seconds, okay? So the first tool, if you're driving, maybe just listen this first time around. And try these when you're back somewhere safe and not moving. So, first thing, find a point in your room that you can focus on. And when you have that point, soften your gaze. And without moving your eyes to something else, just notice. the peripheral and notice the space around you getting wider and wider, noticing more and more space around you and all the way even behind you, becoming aware, kind of zooming out of all of the things in your peripheral. Now, how does that feel? When I do that, the chatter in my brain tends to get quiet. And the reason that is because when our brains are in fight or flight, or when we're in anxiety, we are looking at one point. For example, if there was a bear in front of you, you would be looking at the bear. You wouldn't be thinking, oh my gosh, look at this pretty meadow. You would be staring at the bear, and that would be the most important thing. So if you look in one place really intently, and you're not aware of your body or the peripherals of whatever's around you, your brain is much more likely to have that chatter because it's sort of on high alert. And do with this knowledge what you will, because that makes me think of how much we look at our phones and how focused we are on our phones, and it's a little scary. But here we are. Know better, do better, right? So that's the first thing. That is from Melissa Teer's Anti-Anxiety Toolkit. It's a book. It's on Amazon. It's a really good book. I'm just going to share a couple of the ones that she has in her book today, because they are really helpful in those moments when you can remember, okay, I do want to calm down. I love using this one when I'm counting rests in orchestra, when I'm playing in orchestra, because you're still seeing, you're still really noticing the notes on the page. It's not anything different, but you can be so much more present. When you notice the peripheral, you can listen a lot better. All of your senses sort of open up. So I love this one because it is so stealthy. Like, you don't have to, do any motions. You don't have to breathe differently. You just sort of get to shift out and be expansive, and your brain gets to shut up a little bit, right? So that's the, Melissa Tears calls it the shift out and shut up. So that's something that you can have in your toolkit at any time, right? So if you felt a difference there, and do it a few times just to get used to it, really noticing the peripheral, expanding outward all the way behind you, and taking a few deep breaths. So that's the first one. The second one to calm the nervous system is bilateral stimulation. So what this does is it activates both hemispheres of the brain. So you're going to have an object. It can be like a stress ball. It could be a paperweight. It could be a pencil. It could be anything. Or you can just pass your hands from side to side, but you're going to pass an object from one hand to another, sort of swinging it out laterally, right, and passing it back and forth. And doing this motion, what it does is it stimulates both hemispheres of the brain, and instead of just one clump of neural pathways, which is what would be activated when you had anxiety come up, for example, right? Because that neural pathway is learned. Anxiety is learned. So when you are anxious, let's say, when you see a dog, right? Because you've learned somehow in your life that dogs are dangerous, hypothetically, right? So if your brain thinks that, it has a well-worn neural pathway to feel anxiety when you see that dog, right? And that's not a problem. That's just information, right? And so if you can stay there, you know, assuming it's a nice dog, and do bilateral, you can calm yourself with the five steps. You could do the shift out and shut up, calm your nervous system. You're interrupting a neural pathway pattern, and you're able to create change that way. You're able to access a new emotion in those circumstances. And those are two really amazing tools to have. when you're doing the work of, you know, trying to feel better from moment to moment. It's all about, you know, interrupting those neural pathways. So when we have emotions, they're habitual. And I think it's really important to notice the patterns. Notice, where are you? What are you doing when this anxiety arises or this or that other unwanted emotion arises? And if it's a habit you want to change, and not like a really raw emotion you still need to process, right? Which would be like a five steps sort of emotion, right? Like if you just get rejected from an audition and you're feeling really disappointed, maybe you need to just do those five steps, self-soothe. And in a situation that would be habitual would be, oh, every time I think about auditions or every time I do a mock audition, I get anxious. Maybe that's a pattern then that you would want to change. And that's when you would do, you know, the peripheral exercise and the bilateral stimulation. So I have so many more tools like this. I hope this is helpful and you can take this into your everyday life and sort of change your emotional state within, you know, a minute. I think that deep breaths are always so great for this too, partnered with those exercises. And if you want to change your emotional state, like, this is the way to do it. And I have so many more tips and tricks just like this that I teach my clients all the time. And I think that when you're able to build new emotional habits, you change your life in ways that, like, are pretty unimaginable, right? You're able to get through things and you're able to create different relationships with memories, with things that have happened that you can finally move past as well. So if you're interested in that, and if you're interested in exploring this work further, sign up for a preliminary call. I have a 30-day program where you get to pick a focus and what you want to focus on for those 30 days. You learn the fundamentals of coaching, mindset work, and how exactly to change. And you get coached in the process. So I lead you through so many different tools that you can then use yourself. So it's not like you're going to need me forever, right? So I invite you to schedule a preliminary call. They're free. They're 45 minutes on Zoom with yours truly. And we have a good chat. You walk away with some tools and you get a taste of coaching. And we decide whether we're a good fit to work together for those 30 days and if I can help you. So there's a link to that in the show notes. And there's also a link to the five-step process I've been mentioning in this episode. But I hope you have a wonderful week.